box before I grabbed two of my own. "Sure, let's drop this off with Jimmy, and then we'll go see what we need to do before the campers get here." The kitchen was already abuzz with activity as Jimmy put a couple of volunteers to work on clearing, even though it was still spotless from when he'd left it last year. "I want to check on the water equipment," I said, so Dad and I walked along the familiar path that led past the lake to the large shed that held the canoes, inflatables, and everything else we used for activities on the lake.
"Son, are you sure it's a good idea to have camp this early? There's still snow on the ground on some parts of the trails, and the bears will just be coming out of hibernation."
"It'll be fine. I added this one and another at the end of the season. The snakes won't be out this early, and I want people who attend to not worry about anything they don't need to."
"What's the first one?" Dad asked.
"Both are for people who have never camped before, but this one is all LGBTQ adults. I wanted to give them all a place they know they're safe to learn about the outdoors." Not that I had to explain it to him. When I'd come out to him as a teenager, his only reply was to ask why I waited so long. Mom was the same. I was lucky, and neither of them judged me. But I knew it wasn't that way for everyone.
"I like that idea," Dad said as we stood at the door of the shed.
"I knew you would. Now, let's see what we need to fix." I opened the door, and surprisingly, the canoes were in good shape. But I was happy I'd bought more rubber rafts when I saw that something had been chewing on the ones we had, probably a squirrel or possibly a rat.
"Good thing you bought more," Dad said with a chuckle.
"Well, I had someone who taught me to plan ahead."
"That was probably your mother," he said, making us both laugh. "You're probably right about that."
Mom still did the books for Camp Acorn, which I was more than happy for the help. She knew what she was doing, and I still had a lot to learn. There was so much more to running the camp than just going on hikes and building a campfire.
"So how many do you expect for the first camp?"
Dad asked. I wanted to keep it small, so there were only 12. That way, we can use two of the cabins, and everyone can have a little more room. I made a pile of shit to toss out, while Dad stood and watched. He'd done this so many times, and even if he was here to help, he was officially retired, so I couldn't blame him.
"You've got all your activities planned, and enough staff to help?"
"Yes, and since the whole theme is the new camper's experience, I made sure I hired a few extra staff so it's safe and no one feels left out. I want it to be a wonderful experience for everyone."
"It won't just be good, it's going to be great," he said, before patting my back,
and deep inside I hoped he was right and no one quit the first day. 2. Wyatt Andrews.
"What the fuck did you get yourself into this time?" I grumbled to myself as I turned down the dirt road that led to Camp Acorn. Just seeing the sign made me want to turn around and head back to Sacramento, or, as I had started to refer to it as, civilization. It was a little dramatic, but I'd spent a good portion of my 26 years living my life indoors, working remotely, ordering my groceries and anything else I needed delivered to my home. I continued to grumble to myself as I drove deeper into the wilderness after turning off Highway 50. And when the gate to the camp came in sight, I drove past and pulled over, which was an amazing feat since it looked more like a footpath past the entrance. Seriously, what was I thinking? Growing up, I'd never been athletic or particularly fond of the outdoors. Sure, it was all pretty to look at, but I just preferred enjoying it from inside.